Message. So if you would, take your Bibles in Acts chapter 1 again this morning. Acts chapter 1, and if you wouldn't mind to stand as you find your place there in Acts chapter 1. Again, for those of you who are our guests, what we typically do here at Valley Avenue Baptist Church is we preach through books of the Bible. We start in a book and we just, whatever the next verse is in that book, we preach that. And that way we let the Bible decide what the topic is. We let the Bible preach and do that. And we don't leave anything out that way. But for this month, we've taken a hiatus in Luke. That's where we've been on Sunday mornings in Luke. We'll get back to that in October. But for this month, God has us here in Acts chapter 1 as we consider missions and as we consider the truth of continuing steadfastly what Jesus began. And what was that? Well, he brought the light into the world, right? And his work is to bring that light throughout the world. That's not done yet. We get to be a part of that. So let's read chapter 1, verse 1 through 11, and then we'll get right into our sermon this morning. Luke wrote the book of Acts as well, and he says this, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus," speaking of the book of Luke, "of all that Jesus," what's that word say? "Began both to do and teach." So he began, we get to continue that, verse 2, "until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power." Can we read verse 8 together, nice and slow? Just verse 8, and then I'll pick up at verse 9. It says this, are you ready? "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Thank you. Verse 9. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So today we're going to preach about this great truth, continuing steadfastly what Jesus began. And remember we said it starts in Jerusalem, but Jesus said, reaching both Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and those parts of the earth, that we need to be involved in reaching the world. Amen. So let's pray. We'll get into it this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you work through your word. Thank you for the power of it. And God, thank you for these dear people who have come to hear from you. I pray that you bless them. I'll help them have hearts that are open and soft and ready to hear from you this morning. We love you. Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you very much for standing. You may be seated. So last week we learned, didn't we, that God has called us to continue steadfastly what Jesus began, and we do that until he comes back. He left here in our passage, and Jesus says, I'll be back. Until I get back, you keep doing what I started. And what is that? Well, when Jesus was on the earth, what he began is his mission to reach the world with the gospel. His mission is given in Luke 19:10, which says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And so Jesus came to seek the lost. He came, and when he came to this earth, he finished his work on the cross, right? That's done. He died on the cross, but he didn't stay on the cross, did he? He was taken and he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. Amen? And he defeated death, defeated hell. And on that day, when he died on the cross, he paid the sins of all men. All sin has been paid for. He finished that work on the cross. He said, it is finished. So he finished the work on the cross. That's the gospel. Listen, mankind is cursed by sin. And all of man deserves the wrath of God. We all deserve the wrath of God. That's not my message. That's the message of the Bible, which says there is none good, no, not one, which says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which says the wrath of God is revealed upon all men. We all deserve God's wrath because we're all sinners. Amen? We've all sinned. I don't think anyone in here would be bold enough to say, I've never sinned. No, we all have. And because of our sin, we deserve the wrath of God. And God knows that. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, should not take the wrath of God, but instead have everlasting life. And so God loved man so much that He became a man. And He died for man. We can pay the penalty for our sin, or we can allow Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin. That's what He did. He came to this earth. He became a man named Jesus Christ. And here's what He did. He took His own wrath on the cross. We deserve the wrath of God, and Jesus took the wrath of God for us. Amen? And so we can pay that for eternity in a place called hell, in the lake of fire. That's how we can pay for our sins, but Jesus already paid for them. Right? And so now all He asks is us to ask for forgiveness based upon what He did. It's like if you were to buy your kids a Christmas present and they said, no, I don't want that until I earn it. Well, hold on. This is a gift from me to you. And God has offered mankind a gift of salvation. It's the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. We all deserve it. We all deserve the wrath of God, but Jesus paid for our wrath. Now we cry out to Him for forgiveness. This is the gospel. This is what Jesus finished. But just because Jesus died for every man's sin doesn't mean that everybody has been forgiven of their sins, sadly. Just because He paid the penalty doesn't mean that men are going to not perish. God is not willing that any should perish, the Bible says. God wants all men to come to forgiveness. Jesus died for all men, but not all men are going to be saved. Well, why is that? Because it's up to man, isn't it, to call out. To be forgiven of your sins, the Bible says you have to do these things. You have to admit that you're a sinner. You have to admit that you deserve the wrath of God. You need to humble yourself that way and admit that. You deserve the wrath of God, and so do I, and so do all of us. We all deserve the wrath of God. You're telling me that I have a sin problem? I am, and so do I. But Jesus paid their sin problem for us, didn't He? You have to believe with all your heart that Jesus died and that He rose from the dead to pay for your sins. And then you have to call out to Him. Believing is not enough. You have to admit you're a sinner. You have to believe what Christ did for you. But then you have to call out to Christ. And ask Him to save you. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins based upon what He did. Not just because He loves you, but He can forgive you of your sins because He died for them. So He's able to forgive you of your sins. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So you need to believe the gospel, but it is with the mouth, it says. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. And so Romans 10, 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so it takes believing the gospel, but it takes crying out to Christ and asking Him to forgive you. This is the gospel of Christ. And so Jesus finished that work, but to pay for the sins of man, but He only began the work to reach the world with the gospel. That's what our passage said. He began that. He began that work of reaching the world. And listen, here's the thing. People have to hear the gospel in order to be saved. You have to hear the gospel in order to call out to Christ. Romans 10:14. This is the next two verses after that. says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? He said, if you call on Christ, you'll be saved. And he says, well, how shall they call on him who they haven't believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they've never heard? Right? You can't believe on somebody you don't know about. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so here's how it works. If you're going to be saved, you cannot be saved unless you call on Christ. He's the only way. He said that, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So you have to call out on Christ, but you can't call on Christ unless you believe the gospel. But you can't believe the gospel unless you've heard the gospel. And you can't hear the gospel unless someone tells you the gospel. And so what we need to do then is be involved with sending the gospel throughout the nations, throughout all the world, right? If people in this planet are going to get saved, it's going to be because men went there and preached the gospel. That's what missions is all about. This is missions. Getting the gospel throughout the world. That's what caused Paul to do what he did and travel around and preach the gospel. Romans 1 says he's a debtor to Jews and Gentiles alike, barbarians and Greeks. He's a debtor to them to tell them the gospel, to tell them what Jesus did. And that's missions, sending people to other nations to reach the world. And so we make a big deal around here about missions. We make a big deal about missions at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. And as you look in our bulletin, and Brother Josh gets up and does the financial update, and we read missions letters, and we have the letters in the back, and we have the map with the pins. And as you see all that, you might be wondering, like, what in the world is all of this? What is missions? Why is it such a big deal? Why are these people so crazy about it? Well, here's what we do here at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. We call it Faith Promise Missions. Faith Promise Missions. And it's very effective. And it's an effective way to get missionaries throughout the world. But here's the thing. We don't do faith promise missions and missions giving the way we do just because it works. We never do things just because it works. We do it because it's what the Bible says to do. Amen? And so today it's going to be a little bit different. We're not going to preach the way I normally preach on Sunday mornings. Again, I told you I normally on Sunday mornings and really every church service we go through a book and we go to the next passage and I just explain that passage and all of that. But today's going to be a little bit different. We're going to be flipping around in the Bible, so be ready for that. And here's what we're going to do today. We're going to show you exactly why we do missions the way we do missions. The reason we do missions at all is because we need to reach the world with the gospel. The lost need to hear the gospel. And how can they hear unless someone is sent to tell them, Paul says. So that's why we do missions at all. The reason we do it the way we do it is because it's what the Bible says. It's not because that's what Baptists have always done. It's not why we do it the way we do it. It's not because some hierarchy of churches said to do it that way. In fact, we're not part of any hierarchy of churches. We're part of the Global Independent Baptist Fellowship, and we'll go hang out with other churches who believe like us. But there's no hierarchy above us telling us how to do missions. It's not because it's the most effective way. We do faith promise missions. Why? Because it's the biblical model. It's what the Bible says. And so we're going to look and show you that here this morning. So the first thing is this. We need to look at Jesus' command. Jesus' command. If you want to take notes, that'll be the first in our notes here today. Jesus' command, which is the Great Commission. So if you would turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. We're going to try to go nice and quick here and give all this to you today. Matthew chapter 28. This is what's called the Great Commission. Jesus has risen from the dead at this point when he called his church to himself, the 11, which is the first church, and gave them this commission. Matthew 28, verse 16 says, it's the very end of Matthew, by the way, and then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. And so again, that's the first church that Jesus started, and he called them to himself, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped it, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Jesus says, I came, I died for man. Now your job is to take that message to all nations, and I'll be with you until the end of the world when I come back. Amen? And so, actually, all four Gospels aim end very similar to that. If you go to Mark, at the end of Mark, verse chapter 16, Mark 16, verses 14 and 15, say this. Mark is the next book after Matthew. Mark chapter 16, verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11. After what? After he had died and rose again. Unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. They didn't believe at first that he had rose from the dead, so he was getting on to them about that. But then verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I died for man. You need to go tell the world what I've done. You see? Go to Luke 24. Luke 24. Verse 44 says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. He said, the Old Testament said this had to happen, that I would come, I would die for the sins of man. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and taught them why he did what he did. Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Jesus said, you saw this, you witnessed it, I've taught it to you, now go tell all nations. You see, John 20, the end of John, toward the end, chapter 20, verses 19 through 21. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. He said, the Father sent me to die for man, and now I'm sending you to tell the world. This is the plan, isn't it? This is the plan of God. And so before he left, after he died, after he rose from the grave, and before he went back to the Father, Jesus gathered his church together, his first church, the apostles, and said that they need to reach the world with the gospel. He said, I paid the price for sin, and now I'm going back to the Father. Now it's your job to take that message to all nations. And he gave that command specifically to churches, didn't he? Specifically to churches. He didn't give this to the multitudes. He didn't gather the thousands and say, hey, now you know what I did, go tell the world. No, he specifically called out his first church, the apostles there, and he called them together and gave that command and that authority specifically to the local churches. And to take the church's responsibility, our church and every church in the world, our responsibility is to take the gospel throughout the world and tell people that Jesus died for their sins, and warn people of the judgment to come, and tell them that they deserve the wrath of God, and then tell them that Jesus died for them so they don't have to suffer the wrath of God. Yeah. That's our job. It's our job to take the gospel to the end of the world. And so that was the command. And now this number two is this, Jesus' plan. So Jesus' command was to take the gospel throughout the world. Jesus' plan is missions. And now we're back here in Acts 1:8. Right in our passage, the one we read together. Acts 1:8. Right before he went back to heaven, he told them, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is the plan. Yeah. While Christ was on earth, the only people that were able to be led by Christ were those who actually physically followed Christ. If you wanted to be a follower of Christ and be part of the church of Christ, then you had to physically follow him around. Why? Because he didn't live in man yet. The Holy Spirit hadn't come and live in the heart of men yet. And so that first New Testament local church were the apostles who followed Jesus around. That was the first church. And it had to be that way. But in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit empowered the church. And we're not going to go there and go through all of that just for sake of time. But what happened there, Acts 2, is when God began to live inside man. Before that, God didn't live in man. Now, God's everywhere. We understand that. But God didn't live in the hearts of men and dwell mankind until Acts 2. That's what Jesus said. That's what he promised them, when they would receive power, when the Holy Ghost came upon them. That right now, Jesus says, I'm with you physically in person, but the Holy Spirit's going to come, and it's going to be even better than this, because I'll be in all of you. I'll live in every believer. When you get saved, the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And we understand, don't we, that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, and Christ is part of the Trinity, and God the Father, they're all God. And so when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, Christ is in you, isn't he? And you're in Christ, and he's in you. And now you can follow Christ wherever you go, because he's with you everywhere you go in that way, you see? And he can lead you and guide you and direct you at all times. And so now that God is living in believers, now churches can be spread. Still being led by Christ, churches can be planted all over the world. That's the plan. That Christians would spread out and plant churches throughout the world. In Jerusalem first, and then in all Judea. Jesus said, okay, you're in Jerusalem. Reach Jerusalem, but then you need to plant churches all throughout Judea. And then you need to plant churches in Samaria. And then you need to plant churches all throughout the world. That's the plan. They were supposed to do that. That's missions. Missions is sending local churches throughout the world to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Valley Avenue Baptist Church has the same mission that very first church had in Jerusalem. Our mission is to help reach the world with the gospel. We're to be witnesses of Christ in Falls City, Nebraska, and then in the north central regions of the United States, and then to the rest of America, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's our job. That's the plan that God has given us. And the way we do that is by reaching Falls City. We said that last week, and we start here. We need to reach those we see and reach people personally. But then we also need to be involved in Faith Promise missions to send missionaries throughout the world with the gospel. That's how we reach the world. There's nothing more important than that, than reaching the world with the gospel. We're talking about the souls of man, and we get to be a part of that. And so Jesus said, be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and throughout the world. It starts in Jerusalem, we said that, but it also needs to be taken throughout the world. Here's the problem. Jerusalem Baptist Church, that's what I like to call them, that first church there in Jerusalem, the one that Jesus started, the one that was empowered in Acts 2, the one that souls were added to in Acts 2 and blew up, Jerusalem Baptist Church, they didn't quite understand that they were actually supposed to spread. In fact, they were forced to spread by persecution. See, the church at Jerusalem was exploding. If you read on, you'll see that thousands were added to the church in Acts 2, and then thousands were added to the church again, and thousands were added to that church, and it's possible that that church was up to 20,000 members of that church in Jerusalem. Incredible. And they met there in the temple courtyards. We dealt with that a while back. And they were reaching their Jerusalem, man, weren't they? They were reaching the people there, and that's important. But they never followed Jesus' plan to spread out. They never took the gospel outside of Jerusalem. They were just there, continuing just to reach their town and no other town. That was a problem. Well, God allowed it for the church to be persecuted. And people like Saul of Tarsus and people in Rome and and the other leadership of Israel, they all persecuted the church, and because of that, they spread out. If you look in Acts chapter 11, after they were being persecuted and their lives were being threatened, and Rome and Israel was coming down on the church, they began to spread. And if you look at Acts 11, verse 19, it says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, and they were preaching the word." Hey, they were scattering, they were running for their lives, but when they did, they were preaching the word. Amen? And so it kind of stinks the way they had to leave Jerusalem and take the gospel, but they left and they took the gospel, didn't they? And they started to preach the gospel and tell places like Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, people in these cities, that Jesus came and he died for their sin, and they were preaching the word. Verse 20, "And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they came to Antioch, spake unto them, unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." People are getting saved outside of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. This is the plan. And so a lot of people were saved right there in Antioch. And then verse 22, "And the tidings of these things came to the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. And he went there and established a church." And if you look in verse 26, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass a whole year, assembled himself with the church." That's the first time that church in Antioch was called the church. Okay, what are you saying here? Okay, so what happened here is they were scattered. They preached the gospel. As they were scattering and preaching the gospel, there were people who believed in Antioch. And so now what we have is a group of believers who are in Antioch. There were some citizens of the city of Antioch who got saved, heard the gospel, called out to Christ, as we said, and now they're saved. And so we have a group of believers. What we don't have yet is a church. A church is not a gathering of any believer, of any group of believers. That's not a church. When they found out that there was a group of believers in Antioch, word made back to the church at Jerusalem, it says. And so the church at Jerusalem heard, hey, there's a group of believers there in Antioch. There's a lot of people who got saved. And so what did they do? They, the church, sent Barnabas to Antioch. And Antioch, with the authority of the church at Jerusalem, started what I like to call Antioch Baptist Church. Amen? And Barnabas was there. He went and got Saul, who became Paul. And they are there at that church, Antioch. Here's the point. Churches start churches, right? Jesus said, "I have all power. I have all authority. I give my authority to you, Jerusalem Baptist Church. You, Jerusalem Baptist Church, spread churches throughout the world." And so that's what they did. And with the authority that Christ gave that church in Jerusalem, they sent their authority then to Antioch and started a church there in Antioch. How are we doing? See that? This is how it spreads. We plant churches throughout the world. And so they planted that church at Antioch, Antioch Baptist Church. And Barnabas was there, and Saul was there in Antioch. Now go to chapter 13 of Acts. Chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 1. "Now there were in the church," that was at Antioch. Here's the church, right? This is the church that Jerusalem started, the church at Jerusalem started with their authority, sending Barnabas, planted that church. Now there was at that church all these people who were in leadership, okay? And verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I had called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." And then verse 4, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." So here's what happened here. Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem, didn't on purpose try to reach Antioch, right? How were they reached? Through persecution, right? And they had to scatter because they weren't doing the plan. They weren't sending the gospel. And so God allowed for them to spread, and it did, and it got to Antioch. Now, Antioch Baptist Church is on purpose sending missionaries. That's what's happening here. Paul and Barnabas are the first ever missionaries. A missionary is a man sent with the authority of a church to go and plant churches throughout the world, right? And that's exactly what Paul and Barnabas are doing here. They were there at that church. They were working at that church. They were laboring. They were in leadership at that church. And if you look at verse 2, while they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul." And so they were called by God to be missionaries, right? And then in verse 3 it says, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them." Now, who's the they's and who's the them? Lots of they's and them's here. Are we doing good? Are we able to follow this? And so the they that sent them is the church, right? The members of Antioch Baptist Church, if you will. They laid their hands on them. And by doing that, it's not anything weird or mystical. They're just getting behind Barnabas and Saul. And they are giving Barnabas and Saul their authority and sending them. You see? This is the model of God. Why would they even need to do this if it was just up to those two to do whatever they want? No, it's not how it works. Missionaries are sent with the authority of a local church to go start other churches. And so that church in Antioch gave Barnabas and Saul their authority, and they sent them. We doing good? Antioch Baptist Church sent Barnabas and Saul. Now look in verse 4. Verse 4 says this. So they, now who's this they? This is Barnabas and Saul. Okay? So Barnabas and Saul, being sent forth by who? The Holy Ghost. Hold on, pause, wait. I thought we just said that the church sent them. Well, they did. But it says here that the Holy Ghost sent them. Well, he did. That's how it works. If someone's going to be a missionary, God calls them to be a missionary, and then the church recognizes that call, and then the church sends them away to be a missionary, and the Holy Ghost did all of it, right? Are we doing good? And so missionaries are sent by a sending church with their authority. All of our missionaries we have a sending church. If a person comes to our church and says, "Hey, I just feel like I need to go somewhere else," our first question is, who's your sending church? Because churches are started by the authority of another church. We can't just go out and do our own thing. It's through the local church. That's where God gave his authority. That's God's plan, is to send people through the authority of a local church to start churches throughout the world. And so all of our missionaries have a sending church. Jesus gave his authority to Jerusalem Baptist Church. Jerusalem Baptist Church sent Barnabas with his authority to start Antioch Baptist Church. And now Antioch Baptist Church sends Paul and Barnabas with their authority to start churches all over the place. In Ephesus and Colossae and Philippi and all over, right? But all through the authority of another church. That's how it works. This is how missions works. Are we doing good? Okay. So this is the model of God. Now go to Philippians 4. We'll be done here. Philippians 4. So you might be saying, "Okay, Brother Chad, so what's the deal? Because we're not sending any missionaries out. You want us to be involved with reaching the world. Who in our church has been called out?" Well, maybe one day God will call somebody from our church to go be a missionary. That might happen one day. That might happen one day. That would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? And it would be an honor for us to send somebody off as a missionary. But we're not there. We haven't sent anybody off. So how do we be a part of this then? How does Valley Avenue Baptist Church then be a part of missions? Well, we're in the role of Philippi Baptist Church, I like to call it. Okay? And so we have Antioch Baptist Church, who is Paul and Barnabas' sending church, right? They sent Paul. Now look at Philippians chapter 4, in verse 15. "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but because I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God." So here's what happened. on their second missionary journey. So Paul took three journeys as a missionary. He went on that first journey. He started lots of churches, came back to his sending church on what we call furlough today. So a missionary will be sent out of a church, do the work of a missionary, come back to the sending church, and have furlough. And what does that mean? Well, he gave report of how it went. As they sent him with their authority, he was telling them how it went. So then he went back on a second journey and came back, and then a third journey, and then he ended up in Rome and got beheaded. So no furlough after that one. But on his second missionary journey, he went from Asia to Greece. And Philippi was their second stop in Greece. It was the second city they went to. And Paul was there for about 3 months, and the Philippi Baptist Church was born. In Acts 16, you can read about that. And so Paul started that church, and he kept going. But here's what happened, is that Philippi Baptist Church decided to support Paul financially. They were the first church, Paul said, to help him financially and to send money to him or supplies to him or whatever he needs so that he can keep doing the work of a missionary. And so they became what we call today a supporting church, right? So they had their sending church. That was the church at Antioch. But then Philippi Baptist Church was their supporting church. He said when he left Macedonia, he had one supporting church, Paul said in verse 15, and that was you. You're the only one who gave to me at first. Now he says at first, meaning there now are other churches. So he has at this point multiple churches who are giving to him so that he can take the gospel throughout the world. How are we doing? Supporting churches. And Paul said that that's what they did. They communicated concerning giving and receiving. That means, communicate here literally means to give. And so they gave to him. They gave, he received. And Paul said that they were the only one at the beginning, which again implies more got involved later. And verse 16 says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again. That means over and over, you continued to give. Maybe even monthly. Maybe. That's what we do, right? We have many supporting missionaries that we support, and we send them support monthly, time and again. Why? So that they can be there in their field and not have to worry about working a job, and they can spend more time giving the gospel wherever they are, right? That's what we get to do. That's how we get to be a part. And that's what Philippi Baptist Church did for Paul. They gave. Why? So that Paul, he said, now I don't need a gift. I can do this okay without the support, but I'm thankful. And he said, now I can be more effective as a missionary. So he's thankful for that, but so that he can reach people with the gospel. And then verse 18 says it was a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice. It was from you an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice. It means they had to, okay, here's the thing. Whenever we send money to a missionary, that money cannot be spent here. This is, I know, you know, we're in America and we have our Congress and we have credit cards, but if you spend money on one thing, you cannot spend that money on something else. This is blowing some minds in here, I know, in America. But anyway, that's the thing. So it's always a sacrifice, isn't it? To give to missions is a sacrifice. To give to missions every month means you're going to do less of something else every month. But they were willing to do that, Paul said. And you gave to missions, and you gave to me, and it was a sacrifice. Yeah. They deprived themselves of certain things in order for the gospel to make it throughout the world through the work of Paul. And who were these people who were giving like this? Who were these people who were giving sacrificially? Well, we said it. It was Philippi Baptist Church. They're the ones, right? But who's that? Well, a church is not a denomination. A church is not everybody who's saved. A church is not a corporation. A church is a local gathering of people who are members of that church, and the members of Philippi Baptist Church supported Paul. They gave. The money that a church has to send to missionaries, we don't have some kind of business we operate and make money that way. It comes through the giving of God's people. God's people give to missions, and then the church sends that to our missionaries, and they're able to take the gospel throughout the world. That's how it worked back here, and that's how it works today. And so Valley Avenue Baptist Church is going to give to support missionaries as they reach other cities and states and nations. It's going to be through the faithful giving of the members of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. That's how it works. This has been the plan from the beginning. And so they were supporting Church of Paul. And here's what else Paul said. The support that he received, he said it smelled good to God. That's what Paul said. Smelled good to God. Look at verse 18 at the end again. They're giving to him. It was a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That means God loves it when his people get involved with giving to missionaries. When we personally get involved with reaching the world, it pleases God. That's what Paul said. Didn't it please Paul? Doesn't matter. He doesn't matter. God matters, right? It was pleasing to God. So here's the plan. A man is called by the Holy Spirit to be a missionary. Then that man is sent out by a local church, and then he is supported through the faithful giving of members of churches throughout the world. And God is pleased with that. That's Faith Promise Missions. And that's exactly what we do. That's why we do Faith Promise Missions. Not because it works really well, but because it's the biblical model and it pleases God, right? Isn't that what we need to do always? Whatever the Bible says, whatever pleases God, that's what we do. And then he went on to say that as they gave to missions, Paul said that in verse 17, not because I desire a gift. He's like, I'm not doing this just to be rich and have a lot of money. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul says, I'm glad you give to me. Why? Not just so I can have a nice house or a nice whatever. He didn't even have a house. He just traveled around and preached the gospel. But Paul said, I'm glad that you gave to me, not for me, but because now I get to reach people. And people are going to be reached through your giving. And Paul says, as you gave to me and as I reach people, he says, that's fruit. Those people who are saved and reached with the gospel are now fruit that abound to your account. And as people get saved through the ministry of Riley Barrett in England and in Fernando Padilla in Germany and how about in Ogallala, Nebraska? No one's going to Ogallala preaching the gospel here, I don't think. But we have a missionary over there who's preaching the gospel and Brother Drinker in Kansas City, and we're supporting these men. And as they preach the gospel and as people get saved through their ministry, God says that's fruit that abounds to our account. We were part of that. Amen? Blessing. We get to be a part of that. How? Well, through Faith Promise Missions. Through Faith Promise Missions. We get to be a part of it. And here's how it works practically. We said last week we have Faith Promise Mission cards available in the foyer. We have them out there right now. And so if you want to be involved with that, here's how you can be involved. And this isn't a pressure thing. You don't have to be involved. There's nowhere on here to put your name. This is just giving you an avenue to be a part of reaching the world with the gospel. And what you do and what I'll do is we'll take a card and we'll pray to God and ask him how he would like me and my family to be involved with missions. And then you need to pray about how God will use you and your family. And all of us need to pray about how God will use us and our family to be involved with Faith Promise Missions. And as each of us commit to give, then here's what we'll do. We'll collect all the cards and we'll know how much money we'll have for the year. And we'll know how many missionaries we can support. All the money given to missions, it goes here and then out. We don't use any of it here. It's all used for missions somehow. To support missionaries, to go to church planting conference and give that to missionaries, to have missionaries come in and you know, feed them and house them and allow them to support, allow them to tell us what they're up to. All of that money is given straight to missionaries. And you might say, but Brother Chad, I can't give as much as somebody else. Well, that doesn't matter, right? This is not a competition. We're not trying to beat each other in this. This is all between you and God only. All that matters is what does God want you to give? How does God want you to be involved? And that's just totally between you and God. Totally between you and God. But every little bit counts. And as each of us get involved, then we'll be able to do more and more by way of reaching the world with the gospel. Because listen, you can't go throughout the world by yourself. Neither can I. We can't send all of our church members all throughout the world. Even if we did that, who's going to reach Falls City, right? Our plan, our job is to reach Falls City. It starts in Jerusalem, right? But we do need to be involved with reaching the world. And the way we can do both at the same time is by reaching Falls City and the surrounding areas, telling them, telling our friends, telling our family, telling our co-workers what Christ did for them, and then helping others go throughout the world through missions. And then prayer. We're going to talk about this tonight. But missionaries, more than anything, need your prayers. Because they're going to go out. We'll talk tonight about how you can pray for your missionaries in a specific way. But they need your prayers. Because they're going to face obstacles. They're going to face opposition. They're trying to do the work of God, which they're inadequate to do. And they need God's help, don't they? And so you can be, even if you aren't able to give any to missions. That's between you and God. That's not between me and you. I don't care. I'm not going to ask. We don't send any bills out around here. Or invoices. This is between you and God. But even if you can't give that way, what we all can do is pray. We all need to pray for our missionaries, don't we? And we have the letters out there so we can know what's going on in their life. These are real people who are doing the work, and we get to be a part of sending them throughout the world. Because God calls us all. Listen, God calls us all to go or to send. He calls us all to go or to send. The Great Commission says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And so as a church, we're all called to either go, and if we can't go, to send, and to help others go. And that's how we can reach the world with the gospel. And you might be here today wondering, well, what's the deal with all this? I don't even know what the gospel is. The gospel is this: God died for you. God died for you. And God desperately wants to forgive you of your sins. God desperately wants you to go to heaven with Him. God desperately wants for you to be with Him when you pass from this earth. And the only way that's possible is because God became a man and died for you. He died for you. And now all it takes is what we said this morning, is to believe that in your heart and to call out to Him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we need to send that message throughout Falls City. We need to send that message throughout the world so we can reach the world with the gospel. God, thank you so much. Thank you for the privilege we have, the honor it is, to be involved with Faith Promise Missions. Thank you for, Lord, allowing us to be involved with reaching the world with the gospel. And God, I pray that you would work in the hearts of your people. No, we're not in a pressure way. We're not interested in pressuring people in any way. We just want everyone have an opportunity, God, to be involved with this and reaching the world with the gospel. And so, Lord, we're excited about our missionaries that you've allowed us to support and get behind. And we're excited to see what you're going to do in the future. But, Lord, we just ask that you would guide and direct that way. And, Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, one here that if they were to die today, they don't know where they would go, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in their heart, help them see their need, that they would know that you died for them, that you want to forgive them of their sin, and that they would come to this altar and get it settled this morning. We love you. Christ is my prayer. Amen. Let's all stand together. Brother Josh is going to play a song of invitation. And as he does, God's working in your heart. Now's the time to pray. You can pray for our missionaries. You can pray for how God will have you be involved. Pray that the gospel would make it throughout the world.